When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Tom Nugent with the crown topic of the day. And we started the show talking about Juan Soto. We really continued it for 2 hours just until we talked to Jermaine Illuminor a couple of minutes ago. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We get closer and closer, BT, it seems, with all these meetings. Eventually, there's going to be, you know, the second round, whoever makes that, and then the offers. And I do think Soto, and I felt this way before, he's going to be signed. And I know there's a report you were just telling me about. Who is it, Feinstein?
Feinstein had it, yeah.
And what does it exactly have it up in front of it?
There's a, quote, feeling around the industry that Juan Soto is going to make his decision prior to the winter meetings, which begins December 9th in Dallas. This is per Feinstein. So, obviously, if this happens, it's really good and advantageous to both the Yanks and the Mets, because both the Yanks and the Mets have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and the winter meetings would be, just for record, that second week of December there.
December 9th, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, that whole week. I was saying earlier, like, you know, weeks past, that Soto's going to sign before everybody thinks, oh, it's going to drag out beyond Christmas. No, come on. Use some common sense. Sometimes you don't need sources. Just use common sense. Juan Soto's the key to everything. Mm-hmm. After he signs, then other free agents could start to be, you know, wine and dine or whatever it may be. But until Soto falls in place, you have no idea who's going to have what available to spend on whatever players that they may want. So it makes sense that it would happen around the winter meetings. And if it happens before that, that'd be even better. So you're talking about a couple of weeks here to make this decision. That's what we started the show talking about. You know, as far as the Yankees go, BT, and there's some reports out there. We referenced the Michael Kay stuff where Steve Cohen is expected to go, according to K and a baseball source, go $50 million over whatever the highest offer is right there, where there are signs pointing to, and there have been now for a while, that Juan Soto may leave the Yankees. And for me, that would be a disaster for the New York Yankees.
Listen, I think it's a possibility. I'm certainly open to that you know, thought process. I think if a Yankee fan doesn't view Cohen and some others as serious, I think you're just choosing to ignore what could very well be obvious. But I don't think it might be detrimental. I don't think it spells the end of the Yankees. Like, let's say if he does leave, which is two separate things. But the thing that, and I started the show this way, like, to me, it's just a little inconsistent with the way the Yanks have plotted this out. So they acquire him knowing it's going to be a bidding war. And I know that they were hoping to get him in and let him get the Yankee way and maybe get that hometown discount during the season. But they had to be open, at least on some big, big level, that's not happening, all right? Because it was a pipe dream he was going to sign during the season. So you give up everything you gave up to get him. You know everybody's coming, at least four or five teams with massive money. The rent for a rental, right? And then to not go all in without the knowledge of him being here for 4, 5, 6 years and beyond to chase down multiple World Series, but let's start with one. It just seems like a very disjointed plan by the Yankees if they let him walk solely because of money. You know what I mean? Like, it would be a very hasty plan.
It's why I don't think they can let him go. And it's one of the things that you and I discussed before Soto even set foot on the field in pinstripes. Like, the plan was the Yankees had to go win the World Series because they made the trade for him. Great. Either go overly aggressive in the offseason on top of that, or you better make sure you win or at the very least retain him. And right now you may have the 0-for-3 where they didn't go aggressive on top of Juan Soto for whatever reason. They just didn't. They didn't win the World Series. Yeah, getting there is nice, but they didn't win the World Series. And now they may lose him. That may be 0-for-3. That can't happen here. There's no excuse, and there's no reason why, and we said this for both the Mets and the Yankees, it's not just Soto. They both need Soto plus. And with the Yankees, it feels like, man, if they're lucky enough to get by the skin of their teeth and bring back Soto, I don't know. I'm not sure how much more they could do, where it's different with the Mets. You expect that if they do sign Soto, there's a lot more behind that as well.
Well, that's why I want this to get done as soon as possible, because, you know, I saw something yesterday where if Bregman leaves, or even if not that he wants to leave necessarily, but the Astros might look at Adames as somebody who can fill third base for him. Obviously, pertaining to Soto, that's going to impact, Pete Alonso a little bit here, because, you know, he's not going to sign until he sees what's up with Soto, because if Soto doesn't sign with the Mets, guess what? The Mets probably come, you know, hey, we're still here, buddy, hand in hand a little bit, maybe get 10-12% more on the deal just based out of necessity than he's really worth or than the Mets want to do. There's so many dominoes that are about to fall. I think that I know the Mets have the appetite to go bonkers. I don't think the Yankees do, but I stand by this. If the Yankees lose Juan Soto, I still believe that they could be better next year. They'd have to do some things that would work, but I believe there's another way to compete. And yeah, the very people, most people think I'm nuts when I say that. And I can't control what people think. But I've laid it out many times from a baseball. I'm not going to do it again now because I don't want to get back to the calls. I know you got something to say as well. But, like, to be so locked in on a singular player without plan B or C in baseball, not the NBA, or not if it's a quarterback who's a young quarterback, not Rodgers, to me, I just don't buy that logic.
Right. I understand why you're saying that. Like, you can build out a team without the star player. Or having star players, I don't think the Yankees will get better, though, if they don't bring back Juan Soto. Would they need to get over the hump? Remember, we're talking about the Dodgers here, too. It's not just like, yeah, okay, you could build a nice team, a team that could win the division, maybe win 95, 100 games again without Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. You can build a team that's better than the Dodgers. To me, to justify feeling good about the Yankees' chances going into the season, they got to be better than where they were a year ago. And there aren't three or four or five players that, to me, would make them better than what I saw with Soto and Judge, who you could argue they're never going to be the same again. Like, they were both at their peak together, fully healthy for an entire season.
And they still and couldn't still win, enough. Which, think about that.
Understood, but still, it took that to get to a World Series. So I could see it both ways. I think, though, the Yankees won't be better if they lose Juan Soto. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Mike is on Long Island. What's up, Mike? Hey, Mike.
You guys are the best when it comes to baseball. So I wanted to go and talk about, well, you guys are comparing who Juan Soto is. I would tell you the one guy. So I agree with you guys. Generational. Griffey was generational. Otani is generational.
Hold on a sec here. I think we got some breaking news. I just saw this on Twitter. I'm sorry to cut you off there, Mike. This is a reputable site. You know Jets videos on SNY?
Yeah.
Jets have fired GM Joe Douglas.
Okay.
I think Connor Hughes has. Yeah, Connor Hughes tweeted this 2 minutes ago. The Jets fired Joe Douglas. Per sources.
Didn't work out. And I really thought it had a really good chance to work out. I thought Joe was off to a good start. I liked where he was prior to coming to the Jets, the organizations he worked with. I had a little bit of a relationship with Joe early where we would text. I don't want to bother him, but he was always cordial, always a gentleman, always responsive. And he's a great guy. I think he's a good football man. Didn't work out. I mean, I am a little surprised it hits us now.
That's what I'm saying team. Now you're going to do that?
Well, listen, let me ask you a question. If you knew...
Well, it is a bye week, going to the bye week.
True, and now this gives the Jets a chance to jumpstart their evaluation of their next general manager. If you know that you're not bringing him back, you know, do the right thing by him to get a jumpstart on his next move. But more importantly, for the betterment of your franchise, you know, now you don't have to do anything like sneaky or under the table. Hey, we moved on from Joe. Now we're looking for a general manager. And it's above board. And now go find somebody who actually knows how to build a team.
God, man. Think about where we are at now and where we were going into a year ago, going into this season. We were thinking and hoping that it was going to be a playoff year at the very least, and now here we are ahead of Thanksgiving. Jets in their bye week going into what, week 12, and they fired Joe Douglas after firing Saleh weeks ago.
And it's gotten worse since they fired Saleh. They give up more points. They win less frequently. I mean, it's really the greatest failure in the history of New York sports. I said that to Sal the other day, and I mean that. Like, there's been a couple of Met teams that tried to throw big money, like the Saberhagen, Coleman. Yeah. They tried to take a few shortcuts. The Knicks tried that a couple times with Marbury, some other examples. But this is the most colossal, by far, failure, because it's on every single level. And when you match the money and the hype and the expectations and, you know, the energy that we put forth, not just going into the year and not just last year going into the year, but really from when did Tiki and I start that? Maybe late January? I mean, we were in on that Rodgers pursuit very, very early. And then everybody was. So it was a couple of months where we're talking Rodgers almost daily when he was still Packers property. What a colossal fail.
Yeah, and also remember, Joe Douglas didn't have a contract beyond this year.
Yep.
They could have just waited to the end of the year and let it go, but they wanted to send the message, fire him now, get a clean start, to your point, going on the bye week. Just, I mean, think about it. Douglas and Saleh, we've talked about it for years, and here we are. And I never liked the way that the Jets structured this thing to begin with before Saleh, where to me, it's always, you want a clean slate and hire the new GM, have him pick his head coach, and you have them go together. Now, I don't know how much Woody had an impact on this convoluted mess, Woody going to London with Chris taking over, but you know the different, you know, how we had it here with Gase and Douglas and then Douglas picking Salah and so on. But here we are, Salah fired, what was it, a month ago, and now Joe Douglas follows him out the door at One Jets Drive, and you don't have a head coach because Ulbrich ain't it. You don't have a general manager because Douglas got fired today. Right now, I mean, Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think they have a quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers is the last man standing.
Well, he's still standing, but barely. You know, he's hanging on by a thread. I want to move on from Rodgers. I said that.
I'm sorry, BT.
That's okay.
How much of this do you think is off of the continuity quotes from Rodgers a couple of days ago, whenever that was? Right, there was the report that I think it was Connor Hughes who had it as well, and give him credit for breaking the story.
He did. Because you referenced it Sunday when you were doing it. Right. I heard you in the car on Sunday.
It was Sunday morning when he did it for SNY pregame show for the Jets.
Yeah.
So, and he was talking about how Rodgers wants continuity, I think was the word he used, or stability, whatever it was. But immediately following the loss to the Colts in the bye week, I mean, 2 days later, Joe Douglas out. I wonder if that's sending a message to Rodgers that, hey, you can say whatever you want. Like, here's where we're at. The new people are going to come in and make a decision.
That would be very welcome. I don't know if I go there yet because, you know, Joe Douglas is less impactful. I mean, he's got to get the roster. But in terms of the day-to-day coordination, is less impactful on Rodgers' world. Like, Joe doesn't complicate Aaron Rodgers' world. Because what would complicate Aaron's world is if you get a new coach in here and, you know, basically it's too punitive, although, as I outlined, I won't do it again, post-June 1, there's actually kind of a softer landing. If you designate a post-1, it's not quite as bad. The cap hit and the dead money the Jets would take. I do think that Rodgers has zero interest in learning a new playbook. So I really, when he spoke up for Ulbrich, which he did, I'm like, all right, there's no way Ulbrich's going to be back. But and he shouldn't be. But I don't think that that was necessarily reflective of what he thought about Joe Douglas. I know he likes Joe, or at least he said that. But I think it's really more about the coaching staff, the offensive continuity, the continuity with Ulbrich. Do you think he was really going on a ledge for Joe? I didn't. I thought it was more about the other guys.
Right. Okay, maybe. But Ulbrich can't be back now.
No.
They're not going to fire him in season. It'll be after the year, and then they got to make the decision on Rodgers. Did anybody have the, Hoff, maybe you had this, did anybody have the Joe D, Daniel Jones parlay that Jones will be benched, Joe Douglas be fired week 12? I mean, think about what's gone on here in New York football, how bad it's been. Salah out a month ago, and then in the same week, the Giants finally, by the way, when did Douglas take over? Was this year 6 for him?
He took over. Becton was his first draft, right? I remember that was during COVID.
Because I feel like he's been here. He's definitely been here, obviously, longer than 4 years. Was it year six? Point is,
he come in and then he came in after? Yes, he came in after the draft.
Right.
Which is a typical Jets move. Hey, yeah, come on down. Next general manager who have no impact on the players we just drafted. Come on down, Joe.
So he had 19.
2020 was his first draft, though.
Okay, but he came in on 2019. Yep. Right, and Daniel Jones was drafted in 2018.
Oh, jeez.
And both these guys overstayed their welcome, and they're both out ahead of week 12 in the NFL.
But it's not a surprise to me of the parlay. Like, you know, you make, if you do a parlay, I'm not a big parlay guy, but just playing with the verbiage that you throw out there with Jones and Joel D. Generally, when you make a parlay bet, you feel a little bit better about one of the two or three legs that you actually put it. Like, one, you're like, a little reach. The other two, you feel better about. Like, if you ask me, what's more probable, you know, Daniel Jones getting benched or Joe Douglas getting fired mid-season, I'd say Daniel Jones getting benched by a mile.
Right.
By a mile.
You know, Joe Douglas, the I know there were multiple reasons why he's out, but he missed twice on quarterbacks. He had his own with Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
And because he screwed up that one so badly, he had the opportunity to go get Rodgers, and that didn't work out either. Like, he got every opportunity. There was no, you know, I don't know what he could have done or could have been. He had every opportunity here. And in particular, forget about even the head coaching stuff. With the quarterback in particular, had his top pick, number two. They love Zach Wilson, whatever. Disaster, and then trying to go chase it with Aaron Rodgers, also a disaster.
Can I tell you what I think is his greatest failure? I know this is going to sound like a massive contradiction of what you just said, but the hit rate on quarterbacks is so all over the map. And granted, he missed. There's no question.
Twice.
I know, but I'm just talking about the drafting, right? I think it's, from my perspective, it's worse that he went and chased a shiny object in Reddick and allowed good run stuffers to leave because the inability for the Jets to stop the run is the beginning and basically the end of all of their defensive issues this year.
They got worse defensively this year, no question about it. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Breaking news, Joe Douglas officially out as general manager of the Jets. So we have at least one guarantee that this offseason will bring a new general manager for the Jets. We'll find out. We assume new head coach, potentially new quarterback, but at least BT, we know the Jets are going to have a different guy running their organization come next season.
Listen, if you're going to stink and it's going to go amazingly sideways, then you may as well, at least from a fan and from a talk perspective, have a full reboot. Like, now we can focus on who's coaching, who's going to be the GM. What do they do with Rodgers if they have the appetite to move on financially and emotionally? Who do they draft? Like, there's at least a lot to talk about the Jets moving forward, and which is better than, like, going, because this happens as well, 5-12, but you know the coach will be back for one more year, and there's really not a whole lot to say. There's a lot to say about this.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if I'm Olbrich, I'm like, let me just get out of here now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, can you just fire me now so I can move on and try to get ahead of going to be a coordinator somewhere else? All right, let's get the calls in here. John is in Pittsburgh. What's up, John?
BT and Sal, thanks for taking my call, guys. Hope you're doing well. First of all, shout out.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah, I dumped
Mike
it, too.
D.
Yeah. Carl is calling from Shelton, Connecticut. What's up, Carl?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
Thanks for making it.
Hey, listen, so I'll be the first to admit it. I was a big Joe Douglas guy.
Me too.
After having a long talk with one of my buddies, this is literally what the Jets needed, right? We got a clean house. These were the last two seasons really hit hard for me when I was thinking about it. 2 years ago, we drafted Will McDonald over Jaxon Smith-Njigba when we literally needed a wide receiver, especially from the second-best college, Ohio State, and we passed on him.
He's good.
Then we passed on Brock Bowers, generational talent, and we took Olu from Penn State, who can't even start this season.
Slow down. I mean, I get it. It's a little disappointed that he started the year as a backup, but he played the other day. He played very well. I mean, one of the reasons we always gripe about the Jets is that their O-line is always porous. This kid's actually going to be really good. Now, I hear you on Bowers. We got to let you go.
Yeah.
I wanted Bowers. Remember that?
Yes,
I wanted Brock Bowers.
I did not. I like the pick of the lineman.
Yeah.
And we'll find out moving forward what that is.
I do think he could play, though, Olu. That's my point. Fashanu could play.
Yeah, I'd rather have that than the tight end. And by the way, if you drafted a tight end this year, like, think of where the Jets are at as a franchise. Good God.
Yeah.
You'd much, in hindsight, now I liked it going in, but even in hindsight, you'd much rather have the offensive lineman and you hope he could become a building piece moving forward.
Unless he made some plays, that tight end, and you lost a lot of one-score games.
Yeah, I know, but it's
eventually you got to have the old line.
Yeah, I mean, how many more skill position players do they need?
A lot more. They can barely score.
Build the thing the right way. I mean, look, Joe Douglas deserved to be fired because he missed on the biggest positions that there are. Quarterback, head coach. He did some nice things as far as bringing in some talent.
Yep.
He could never build a team that could win. Now, you could blame the owner all you want. I'm sure that the inner workings of the organization weren't ideal for Joe Douglas. However, he still had... But like, other guys have won before under Woody Johnson. Joe Douglas couldn't even put together a 500 season or, a winning season.
Not once.
And
no.
Come on. He's been here since 2019, for goodness sake.
No, I say this with great respect. He's earned the door. He has. He's earned the door.
There's no disputing it. He made a couple of great trades. The Jamal Adams trade was great.
He got something for Darnold.
Yeah, okay.
When his stock was down.
Now, in hindsight, maybe he chose the wrong one between Darnold and Zach. But whatever, I understand it. He brought in some good talent. He made some mistakes as well.
Yeah.
But he missed big with the head coaches with Gase. I mean, I that was his guy. He was supposed to be.
Yeah, I got it, yeah.
And then Robert Saleh, bringing in Robert Saleh. And then, obviously, the two quarterbacks.
So, and think about this, Sal. And you run the risk of when you have, a coach and a GM, one or both of those in the operation, kind of at the end of the road, and you're supposed to win, and you're not, you start doing some desperation things. Like, did you really have to trade for Davante Adams? Did you really have to trade for Hassan Reddick and then basically acquiesce and give him some money?
I wonder.
It's just a mess.
Do you think he wanted to do that, or was that Woody? Like, some of those moves, I don't even know. The Reddick, I would assume, is him.
Well, Reddick, you know, Woody did speak directly to Hassan Reddick. Remember what he said? Hey, get in your car. And he may have gotten the direction wrong. He's like, jump on the turnpike. I think he may have messed up the direction. Yeah. But, you know, come with us. We got a family waiting for you. You know, Woody was fairly outspoken on that. That's a good question, Sal. I would think that Woody's influence behind the scenes with those this year, given the urgency, maybe the lack of belief in Joe, maybe a little bit more evident than years past.
So the Jets, just to go over the timeline again. I'm sorry to do this.
Starting from when?
Well, because birth? I was just saying, was it Maccagnan who hired Gase? And then, well, point is, wasn't Gase here before Douglas? And then Douglas came in shortly thereafter. But there was a relationship with Gase and Douglas, which made us think that they were tied together. Like, did Gase bring in?
Hold on. Well, Maccagnan drafted
in 2019.
Yeah.
And Gase was hired in January. So then it was, because their timeline was all screwed up.
I know. From the jump,
Maccagnan and Bowles were on the same timeline, right? Maccagnan and Bowles were brought
they year
in
to year, the same exact year, or was it one off? It may have been.
I'm pretty sure, Hoff, if you could just check the records on this, so we're in order, but I'm. Memory serves correct. Charlie Casserly advised them.
Hey, Charlie, what do you think we should do?
They go with Maccagnan and Bowles, right? And then they had the four-year deal, but then they fire Bowles.
Yep.
Kept Maccagnan on.
Correct.
Hired Gase, fired Maccagnan after the draft and hiring Gase and brought in Joe Douglas. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's...
You might be right. Dude, there's so much that's gone wrong. Everything's a blur mess in my mushy mind with this stupid-ass football team. But if that's the case, and I feel like you're right, then they did not allow Joe Douglas to draft his first year, and they shoved the head coach down his throat. But what could go wrong?
But the thought was that...
That's not how you do it?
The thought was that Douglas and Gase were boys. Now, again, either way, that's a mess.
Ridiculous.
It was convoluted then, and now maybe for a change, it could be a restart with...
The right way.
Yeah, no general manager, no head coach. You hire both at the same time and let them decide what they want to do to overtake this organization.
What do you think is more important? So, ideally, you get a... Now, where are these candidates? I mean, the good ones have jobs, but is it more likely that the Jets hire a somewhat established veteran GM, not an assistant GM, a GM who's done something somewhere, or a veteran established head coach? I don't think you're getting both.
I think you want the, me personally.
You want the coach.
Yes.
I knew you were going to say that.
I want the coach.
I probably agree. You need that main authoritative big boy voice in the building. Yeah. So I agree.
Because you know that somebody's going to be able to, like, there, as long as you get that, the other stuff should fall in line.
Not if you have an inexperienced GM making the wrong moves.
Yeah, well,
unless he listens to the coach.
But the real head coach wouldn't come here without, like, so, to me, it's got to be maybe a pairing at the suggestion of the head coach, if it's the right head coach.
I tend to agree with that. I do, but I don't know where that pairing is,
Pat,
who that is.
Sorry, BT. Pat is on Long Island. What's up, Pat?
Patty.
Yo, BT and Tao.
What's up, Pat?
What's up, Patty?
Man, I'm so sick of this damn team. I can't take it anymore. 30-64 for Joe Douglas. That's a joke.
Yeah.
The last time the Jets were in the playoffs, I was 8 years old.
Wow.
I'm through college now.
What?
I'm through college. This team's not back in the playoffs. You knew when Rodgers came in, this could happen. There was the whisperings that same old Jets, it's all going to fail. And that's exactly what happened. Now I'm sick of this, man. I'm done with this team, man.
Pat, hold on a sec. Step back. You're not done. You're not done, Pat. Here's what's going to happen. So you just graduated college now?
Yeah, I'm graduating in like a month or two.
First of all, congrats. What school? Where are you finishing up at?
Molloy on Long Island.
I know Molloy. The Molloy Lions. That was where I first did my first radio basketball game in Garden City and in Rockville Center. I know them real well. Bobby Houlihan, they just named the court. I know them. We're great people. Anyway, congrats. Here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to graduate. The Jets will probably suck for a couple of more years. Eventually, thanks for the call, Patty, he's going to get to a point where he's got a few bucks in his pocket for the first time. That's what happens. Eventually, you infiltrate the workforce, and you leave mommy and daddy, and you get your own crib, and you get your own car, and you start paying for everything yourself. Granted, some people do that earlier than others, but And you have a few bucks in your pocket, and the Jets are having a renaissance season.
Whoa.
You know what you're going to do? You're going to book a boys trip either to watch them play a playoff game in Vegas or, you know, down in Miami. You're not done. And for you to say that you're done, it is the biggest lie in the history of lies, because I've said it. Now I don't even try to front anymore. I don't even say it. I will admit that I am more callous than I've ever been. And it does hurt a little bit less than it's ever hurt, because I'm now conditioned to lose, but I'm still here. And so will you be. I got news for you, Patty.
BT, yeah, come on.
He's going nowhere.
You could say it, and I've said this many times. I'm done with this team. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, you said you're done with Alonzo. Yeah, we had that clip going around.
We're there for life. Like, that's it. Unfortunately, we're too far in at this point. We're sucked in forever. All right, we will talk to Brian Baldinger when we come back, so we'll get his thoughts on the Jets firing Joe Douglas. Also, the Giants going to Tommy DeVito instead of Daniel Jones. We'll do that when we come back.
Fast answer. If you could only root for one team the rest of your life, who is it? Boom. First answer. Go.
It'd probably be the Mets.
Ooh,
I know the Knicks are there.
I think he was maybe saying those Knicks. I was trying to get you. All right, you go.
Baseball's my love. You know that.
I'm sticking with those Yanks, too. Knicks probably, too.
So BT and Sal back on the Fan right now. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Baldy, the breaking news, Joe Douglas is out. Your thoughts?
Well, it's just collateral damage for, you know, a season that's just gone awry. And, his job was to put this offensive line together, and he was given a lot of resources to do it, and that hasn't really come together. But, you know, it's just complete collapse right now. Robert Saleh was his coach. They fired him. And so everything sort of falls on his plate right here, whether it's the design or the players or the draft picks that just haven't worked out, or watching players just completely fall apart, like a Sauce Gardner. I guess he's the collateral damage for guys that just aren't performing and playing like, you know, they were drafted to be.
It's an unmitigated failure. And for us there, Baldy, the direction's got to be very simple. I don't know if this duo or this tandem exists. That's what we need your opinion on. Is there a veteran GM and a veteran head coach that you can see pairing together and coming to the Jets?
Well, on the floor below me in NFL Films is Bill Belichick, but I don't think coach is going to go to the Jets. I don't know. Like, Andy Weidel's the second guy in charge of Pittsburgh. They're doing pretty good. They've just made a bunch of deals. They've drafted really well. They start two rookies on the offensive line. I just saw him take the Ravens apart. I mean, Andy Weidel is he's won a Super Bowl with the Ravens, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, done a lot of good things in this world. Like, I could see him being paired with Ben Johnson or, you know, some really good offensive mind right now, and maybe a Bobby Slowick in Houston, and I could see a combination like that.
Don't you think, though, Baldy, that the Jets need an experienced head coach once and for all here?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, a guy that's been around. I don't know exactly, you know, whether it's Mike Vrabel. You know, Mike Vrabel would certainly would create a toughness within that building and really hold players and coaches and everybody accountable. He's got that type of personality. He had some success in Tennessee. They were the number one seed, you know, just 3 years ago in the playoffs. It didn't work out for him, but, I mean, he's had some success up there in Tennessee, and he's completely available right now.
How about Gruden?
I mean, I would love John Gruden. I mean, I know that, you know, he's making a comeback right now with Barstool Sports, and he's talking football every day. You're never going to find a guy that doesn't believe in what John Gruden is teaching. You go back to the Raiders right now and ask everybody, and I don't know what happened in the emails that he wrote, and I don't really care about that, but you know, as far as getting players' attention and building a program, he's done that in a couple different places. Obviously got a Super Bowl to his name and misses it and loves it and would probably welcome a second chance.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting name. It's a polarizing name. It's an inspirational name. Like, you could just see him at the press conference wearing the green tie with those crazy eyeballs beating around, looking at the room, getting hit with questions. I think it would be a press conference home run, and he very well might do a good job with the Jets. But I think the work that he was doing with the Raiders was grossly overstated. I didn't really think it was going in the right direction. Forget about the emails. I didn't think from a football perspective it was moving in the right direction. Did you?
It's hard to say. I mean, he had a first-time GM in Mike Mayock, and maybe he needed a more experienced guy in that position to help him, you know, pick some of the players and put the roster together. So, you know, he might have a second choice or a third choice. I mean, you got to need somebody. You can't do it all. You need somebody to kind of pick the players and build the roster the way you want to see it. I don't think they did a particularly good job in that department.
We're talking to our buddy Brian Baldinger. Baldy, Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store and add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. All right, Baldy. Well, at least from a Giant perspective, we get a chance to watch something different. We don't know if it will be better, if it will be worse, but it will definitely be different. Take us inside the film room. What we saw from DeVito a year ago, you know, left us intrigued enough to embrace this. Plus, he's a local kid, which I always enjoy. Can he play? Like, what does he do really well? What do you see?
Well, I mean, I thought he made good decisions last year. I mean, I think he, you know, he was 3-3 as a starter. It was a disaster against New Orleans. They literally, I mean, they ran the same blitz like three plays in a row. They sacked him three plays in a row. They just couldn't protect him last year. That was a problem. But I thought he made good, quick decisions with the ball. I thought he was kind of a fast twitch kid that saw the field real well, got the ball out of his hands. I think he threw something like 8 touchdowns against 3 interceptions. So he did a decent job of taking care of it and the opportunities they had last year. I think they obviously are going to Cutlets here because, you know, they got to do something for the fans. And I don't think Drew Lock does anything for anybody, although they paid him to be the backup, you know, and paid him a handsome sum to be the backup quarterback. He started 5 games in the last 3 years. It's not like he's played a lot of football. DeVito's played more than he has over that time. So I don't have any problem with the decision, but I just thought he saw the field well and got the ball in the playmaker's hands when he had that opportunity. I think one of his wins last year was against Green Bay, which is a really good team, and he played really well against them.
And the energy, too, last year, Boldy. And look, I'm not an expert.
Changed.
Yeah, I'm not an expert like you are, but I remember watching it last year and thinking to myself, man, this is not just a fluke. Like, there are certain things that he does. He's making throws. He's confident. All right, he's a young kid, undrafted, making some mistakes. But there was reason for me, at least initially, to believe in him. Do you think there's at least a chance where DeVito can be a starting quarterback in this league?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's a starter yet. We've got to see what he does, you know, as a backup right now. I mean, he's certainly going to get an opportunity this week right now, you know, against Tampa. It's going to blitz the hell out of him because that's what they do. So we'll see how he handles that. We'll see how the Giants front handles it. But I think, look, there's something there. I mean, it can't get any worse than what it's been. I mean, Daniel Jones is finished in New York, and I don't know where else he's going to, you know, surface. Somebody will probably give him another chance. But, you know, you just see the reaction on the coaches and the players and the receivers when he would miss a throw or not make a throw because he, for whatever reason, he wouldn't make a throw. Like, it was just frustrating to watch. Like, I don't think this kid is going to lack, I know he's not going to lack confidence, but like, you got to pull the trigger and you got to make the throws that are there. And you got to give the play a chance and the players a chance. And whether that leads to a bad play or a missed throw or whatever, you still have to make the throws that are out there to be made. And can you do it time and time again? Well, he's going to get that chance and have a chance to play himself into a role.
I can't wait to watch him. I hope he does awesome. I want to ask you something else about Daniel Jones. I said this about a week or so on the air here. People thought I was nuts. I think it's actually smart. So Jones as a Giant is always judged as the 6th overall pick and a guy on that second contract, which makes it untenable. All right, they're done with him. We know that. I believe the Jets should move on from Rodgers. And I believe that they can get to a spot and draft somebody. They should do that as well. If you get Daniel Jones, you didn't take him 6th. You've given him peanuts as a backup or as a bridge guy. And they can draft somebody. How is that a bad thing for the Jets in 2025 to start?
Well, you know, the Vikings are having great success with Sam Darnold right now. Similar situation, right?
Yeah.
You know, Jared Goff is playing at MVP level. You know, he was supposed to be a bridge guy that the Rams gave up on, and it's working really well in Detroit. They built a really good team around him. But I think both those players are better than Daniel Jones. I think they see the field better. I think they're just naturally more accurate. You know, he's a better athlete than all those guys for whatever that – whatever difference that makes. But I think a fresh start would certainly help him. Maybe not, you know, up
not
the road
New York.
And, Florham Park, you know, maybe someplace out west where they're not so used to watching them.
Gotcha. What an endorsement where they're not used to watching them.
Yeah, I feel like Boldy. I just finished watching Jones for 6 years. I can't take it anymore in New York, whether it's the Giants or the Jets. I'll let him go somewhere right. else. I can't take it.
Yeah, we'll take shifts again. Don't worry.
Yeah, good God with Daniel Jones. Would you be done with Aaron Rodgers as well if you're the Jets, Boldy?
Yeah, I'd be done. I mean, it's time to move on. I mean, I actually, after watching some of these 40-year-old quarterbacks play, honestly, like, they should have an NFL rule that when you get to 38, you know, whether you're Kirk Cousins or Drew Brees at the end or Peyton Manning at the end or Aaron Rodgers, like, we're living off, you know, yesterday's news. Like, I almost think there should be a rule put in place outside of Tom Brady, who's the all-time GOAT. Nobody plays well at age 40 at that position. And right now he's bounced the ball off the turf. Like, it looks bad. You know, he can't throw a simple hitch route right now. He can't put the ball where he wants to put it. And, you know, enough of these one-yard routes. Like, they can't get the ball down the field. They tried on the first play of the game. The ball ended up out of bounds to Garrett Wilson. Like, it's not working out. He's in too big of a hurry to get rid of the football because he has to.
Yeah.
Whether he doesn't trust the protection or if the protection is there, he doesn't think it's going to hold up. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the Jets, you fire the GM, you fire the coach, you might as well just fire the quarterback and really kind of take what pieces you have, you know, whether it's, you know, Breece Hall or, you know, Quinnen Williams or Sauce Gardner, whatever. Take the pieces that are solid. You know, you drafted a kid first pick, you know, and at the left tackle spot, let him play. Like, just start taking the pieces that are there and build around him.
I would actually trade Sauce Gardner, and if somebody wants, because I don't know how I'm going to give him 80, 90, whatever the hell, $100 million for a guy who can't tackle, who's getting worse. I do think this is a bit of an aberration. I know he's better than this, but I don't trust Gardner moving forward, and I really like Garrett Wilson. Hell, if we're going to blow this thing up, blow it up the right way. Get everybody on the right timeline. If somebody wants Garrett Wilson and you want to give me two twos or one at a two or one at a three, open for business, let's trade everybody. You're not going to win next year.
Well, look, I mean, the last position I'm filling, if I'm building a team the right way, is the receiver position.
Yes.
Like, just give me the best and deepest offensive and defensive lines you can find.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, last week, the Colts go down the field twice in the fourth quarter and scored touchdowns with three rookie offensive linemen on the field. Like, they didn't fall apart, you know?
Yeah.
And basically a rookie quarterback making, you know, whatever start this is for Richardson. And they look just fine up there. But, you know, draft guys and develop guys, just do it. Pittsburgh starting two rookie offensive linemen up there, they look just fine taking the Ravens apart on Sunday. You know, like, just draft good players, good tough players, and develop them. I mean, it's just, it really shouldn't be as hard as the Jets and Giants are both making out to be.
Are you available for hire? I mean, I know you're doing the Boldy breakdowns, but good God, Boldy, get these guys a clue, will you? We need help.
They need help. They need, but it shouldn't be that hard. It just isn't. I mean, I'm watching a kid from Esau Tuckett, Long Island, start at left tackle. You know, he's a fourth round pick at a Pitt, and he looked just fine out there playing left tackle for Indianapolis on Sunday.
I mean, they can't find a good head coach. They're going to find good offensive line coaches? I mean, when you got to dig deeper into the weeds, come on, man.
Thank you, Baldy. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. I mean, he's right, though, BT.
Yep.
I know it's not easy to build a Super Bowl winner, but it shouldn't be this hard to build a team that could compete for, I don't know, a couple of years in a row. Just haven't been in the playoffs in, what, 14, 15 years, whatever it's been. Giants have been a disaster. It's been a mess.
I got one word for you. Ownership. That's where the attention needs to go. I'm going to say it again.